Good afternoon, it's 4:30 and 88 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Jacob Lindberg.
And I'm Peyton Stewart.
What happened? I mean, what did their estimates change?
Yes.
Are they going to change again?
A project to expand broadband internet in Moorhead will cost more than expected.
Moorhead residents are grieving after a boy was swept into floodwaters.
Elliott County schools were canceled due to a case of hepatitis A.
A man was accused of trying to rob a Lexington restaurant with a broom has been arrested.
Plans for a new city hall in Lexington have been pushed back.
In sports, Rowan County football heads to Bourbon County tonight.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Partly cloudy weather tonight, with lows around 67 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Moorhead City Council voted to move forward with plans to construct a fiber optic network today, though some were concerned with an increase to the cost of the project. The Kentucky Wired project would provide the capacity for high-speed broadband internet in the city. The council voted to approve a memorandum of understanding with the Kentucky Communications Network Authority. Councilman Tom Carew was the lone dissenting vote. He says the over $275,000 price tag is too steep an increase from estimations earlier this week.
This may be the right thing to do for Moorhead, but I'm going to tell you I'm voting against it simply because to jump that much money in less than a week, it just doesn't give me a lot of confidence.
During Tuesday's meeting, officials estimated that the project would cost the city between $130,000 and $175,000.
Moorhead residents are grieving after a 9-year-old boy was swept into floodwaters. Search parties have been looking for Bryce Combs since his disappearance on Sunday. The boy was playing with a friend in a backyard when he fell into a storm culvert. John Maxey is the superintendent of Rowan County Schools. He says that despite the tragic circumstances, the children are staying fairly optimistic.
Overall, they've done really well with what they've been faced with. We've also had several of the teachers that have been upset. So we've had some adults have been upset that, you know, we've provided counseling for if they needed it or, you know, maybe just some time to reflect.
Maxey says that helping the children through this difficult time is top priority. Grief counselors are available in all schools in Rowan County.
Elliott County schools were canceled today after district officials confirmed a case of hepatitis A in one of its employees. Superintendent Debbie Stevens informed families of the closure in a letter where she says the individual who tested positive is not involved with food handling. Stevens also wrote that custodial staff worked today to sanitize and thoroughly clean each of the district's schools. The superintendent was unavailable for further comment this morning.
A Lewis County man was arrested on several charges after a car pursuit Thursday. WSAZ reports the chase started in Vanceburg and ended more than 30 minutes later on the Grayson portion of the AA highway. 38-year-old Charles Johnson of Vanceburg crashed his vehicle into a creek off Birchwood Lane and led officers on a brief foot pursuit before he was apprehended. He is charged with first-degree fleeing or evading police, multiple counts of first-degree wanton endangerment, driving under the influence, and operating on a suspended or revoked license. Lewis County Sheriff's deputies say the pursuit started after a domestic situation in the Garrison area and that more charges are possible. No injuries were reported in the incident. Johnson is currently being held in the Lewis County Detention Center.
Two women are in jail and facing several drug charges after a safety checkpoint turned up drugs in their car. Heather Watts of Detroit, Michigan, and Tieran Allred of Mansfield, Ohio, are both facing several charges, including possession of drug paraphernalia and possession of a controlled substance. WSAZ reports the two were arrested in Greenup County after a safety checkpoint on the Industrial Parkway just off Route 23 in Wortland. During the stop, a police dog with the Raceland Police Department detected drugs inside the car. After searching through the car, officers found marijuana, illegal prescription pills, and a large amount of cash. Watts and Allred are in the Greenup County Jail.
The man accused of trying to rob a Lexington Sonic with a broom has been arrested. LAX 18 News reports John Parker Hall attempted to rob the Sonic restaurant on New Circle Road on August 21st, armed with only a broomstick. The manager told police Hall grabbed the broom from outside and was hitting the door with it while demanding money. Although Hall fled the scene before police arrived, he was later identified in a lineup. Hall was arrested yesterday and is charged with second-degree robbery.
We'll be back with more news right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop. A community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Plans for a new city hall in Lexington have been set back. According to WKYT, the Urban City Council voted 7-5 to not move forward with plans to move City Hall to the Lexington Herald Leader Building. Although Vice Mayor Steve Kay was in full support of the move, he agreed that until everyone in the council is on board with the idea, that the process would be a waste of time and money.
My concern was that we would proceed to negotiations really without the support on council that we would need when we finished negotiations, and that that exercise would be time-consuming and expensive on both sides and not productive.
Most of City Council is in agreement that a new City Hall is needed, so the big debate is over when and where the City Hall should be built. Councilwoman Suzanne Lamb suggested locating the building to the Phoenix Park property.
A bill requiring financial literacy classes for anyone taking out federal student loans has passed in the U.S. House of Representatives. The bill was written by Kentucky's 2nd District Representative Brett Guthrie. He modeled the bill after a program implemented at Indiana University where they saw student debt drop 11% as a result. Guthrie tells Spectrum's Pure Politics he wants to see that go nationwide.
As universities, you have to give this enhanced counseling. Doesn't deal with, it's a big step, but it doesn't deal with the cost of colleges. I know our legislature and governor are trying to deal with that with all the other demands on the state budget. But it does kind of help young people focus on how much money they're going to borrow. And sure, people say, I thought it was a grant. I didn't think I had to pay it back. I thought I had more time to pay it back. They know what they're getting into when they get into it.
Federal law already requires an entrance and exit exam when acquiring student loans. But Guthrie says the new requirements would be more in-depth.
According to a newly released report, Kentucky ranks 8th in the nation in terms of obesity. The Trust for America's Health and the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation released their 15th annual report on the state of obesity in America on Wednesday. The Commonwealth ranked lower than last year, but still has an obesity rate of 34%. John Auerbach is the president and CEO of the Trust for America's Health.
That means that more than 1 in 3 of the adults living in the state have obesity.
The obesity rate has increased nationwide, with no state seeing a reduction. The report also found that Kentucky ranks 3rd in terms of obesity among high school students, with a rate of 20%.
Life-saving devices will now be issued to Kentucky State policemen. An $83,000 grant is allowing for the KSP to purchase tourniquets and duty belt cases for all troopers. Tourniquets are used to prevent a victim from losing too much blood until medical professionals arrive. The grant comes from the Spirit of Blue Foundation in dedication to KSP trooper Cameron Ponder, who died in the line of duty 3 years ago yesterday. Brenda Tiffany is the mother of Ponder, and she says she fully supports any device that could potentially save the lives of policemen and civilians alike.
I pray they never have to use the tourniquet, but I'm so glad our troopers will have this life-saving piece of equipment. As everyone has said, minutes matter in life and death situations.
KSP Commissioner Rick Sanders shares Tiffany's opinion that he hopes the device never has to be used, but he says he knows they will come in handy for life-threatening situations.
Recent figures released by the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration show that progress is being made in the fight against the ongoing opioid addiction crisis. Data from the National Survey on Drug Use and Health shows that the number of new users of heroin decreased from 170,000 in 2016 to 81,000 in 2017. Researchers also found that addiction to opioids is down, as well as opioid misuse. More people are getting treatment for heroin and opioid addiction as well. Earlier this year, Congress appropriated $3.3 billion to help fight the opioid crisis. Even with the progress, many addiction experts say more resources are still needed.
The number of kids in Kentucky foster care is growing at a record pace. Records from the State Department of Community-Based Services show over 9,600 children were in out-of-home care at the beginning of September. The average age of a foster child is 10, but experts say once they reach double digits, they are significantly harder to place. Dusty Saravo is with New Beginnings Family Services in Louisville. She says finding homes for older children is difficult.
Maybe 10% of those people want to be foster parents. Maybe 50% of those people want to be foster parents to kids that are going up to 10, while 0.1% of that population wants to work with teens.
Most children in Kentucky foster care come into the system at 6 to 18 years old. The goal for 33% of those kids is adoption.
Disaster workers in Kentucky are ready to assist in the aftermath of Hurricane Florence. The American Red Cross Kentucky region has four emergency response vehicle teams on standby to help with efforts along the East Coast. The organization is also staging five workers in West Virginia. Red Cross Disaster Director Dan Wirth says they're also keeping an eye on possible flooding in Kentucky.
We're going to be staging out in the eastern part of our state and be at the ready in the event that the storm impacts the community in eastern Kentucky.
The 24 team members are from the Louisville Fire Department and Jefferson County Water Rescue.
Taking a look at the weather tonight, it'll be partly cloudy with a low around 67. Tomorrow, a 10% chance of showers and thunderstorms after 4 p.m. Mostly sunny with a high near 85. Saturday night, a 10% chance of showers and thunderstorms before 8 p.m. Mostly cloudy with a low around 68. Sunday, a 40% chance of showers mainly after 11 a.m. Mostly cloudy with a high near 78. Sunday night, showers likely mainly after 2 a.m. Cloudy with a low around 67. Taking a look at the temperatures, in Flemingsburg it's currently 87, in Lexington it is 88, in Ashland it is 89, in Winchester it is 88, in Inez it is 88, and here at the campus of Morehead State University it is currently 89 degrees.
On our feature segment today, commentator John Modaff explores an odd habit of some speech professors concerning the banning of topics for speeches.
There are college speech professors who refuse to allow students to discuss certain topics in speech classes. That's right. No public speeches on certain topics. The banned topics can include gun control, same-sex marriage, and abortion. Professors explain, as they defend their censorship, that such topics might upset certain students, and so to avoid upset or discomfort, they steer speakers clear of selected forms of controversy. This is backward for a lot of reasons, but mainly because avoiding discussing topics is not a good way to increase mutual understanding and appreciation. But what is just as strange as the ban on certain public speaking topics in certain classrooms is the list of topics that are allowed. One of the strangest allowed topics, in contrast to the disallowed, is the discussion of euthanasia, or rather dignity in dying legislation. Today, five U.S. states and Washington, D.C., and at least three foreign countries provide for some form of state-sanctioned ending of life outside of capital punishment. And a little studying reveals that the rationale for ending the life of certain persons who are very ill, sometimes mentally ill, sounds an awful lot like the rationale many give when defending abortion. Let's review both cases, the case for abortion and the case for ending a sick person's life, with state approval. Abortion defenders say that ending the progress of the fetus toward birth will keep the mother out of personal financial jeopardy. As President Obama claimed, letting a fetus proceed toward birth and life can be perceived as a punishment for a woman. The same case is made in defense of euthanasia. Why punish the patient? Abortion defenders often claim that preventing physical suffering is paramount, the same point made by euthanasia proponents. Abortion rights activists insist that the mental health of the mother prevails over any rights of the developing fetus, so that if ending the developing life will preserve the woman's mind, so be it. The same case is made in defense of ending an ill person's life. Defenders of abortion insist that families will be decimated if a child they are not equipped to take care of is brought into the world. Defenders of euthanasia make the same case, arguing that families are decimated by the incessant, grueling demands of caring for the terminally ill. And following the logic of Chelsea Clinton, who recently argued that abortion has added trillions of dollars to our economy by preventing women from suffering the costs of childbirth and motherhood, defenders of euthanasia argue that families, governments, and private health insurers will save mountains of money not having to tend to terminally ill persons. This comparison, then, might lead us to wonder, why can public speaking students discuss euthanasia in classes but not abortion? Essentially, they are the same case, and our relatively easy acceptance of one case does not jibe with our avoidance of the other. And no, the solution is not to ban speeches on death with dignity. The solution is for speech profs to stop being overprotective helicopter hypocrites and trust that their students can handle the truth. Avoiding discussions is no way to make progress in any case. I'm John Modaff.
Dr. John Modaff is a professor of speech at Morehead State University. The time is 4:47. I'm Jacob Lindberg, here with Peyton Stewart, and we're glad you joined us on this Friday afternoon. WMKY's Leanne Akers has sports right after this quick timeout.
Support for MSPR is provided by Gateway Radio, serving Rouen and surrounding counties with WKCA at 97.7 FM. All the programming of WKCA, classic country music, news, and more are available worldwide on WKCARadio.com. Apps available for both your Apple and Android devices. WKCA proudly supports Morehead State University and Morehead State Public Radio.
Now on heads to Bourbon County tonight for Friday Night Lights. For WMKY Sports, I'm Leanne Akers. The Viking football team travels to Bourbon County tonight. The Colonels are coming off a bye week, but have two big wins over Clay and Grant counties so far this season. Rouen, meanwhile, is 3-1 on their season, coming off a 39-15 win over Fleming County at home last week. Coach Kelly Ford says his team is ready for tonight's matchup.
Be another good test for us. They're a similar team like Ashland, so it'll give us another test going into our district play.
Ford is hoping to see another big night from his offense. Last week, quarterback Tabor Wright threw five successful passes and handed the ball off for 415 total rushing yards. On the defensive side of the ball, Rouen pulled down three interceptions and broke through Fleming's offense for three sacks. In other area high school gridiron action tonight, 3-1 East Carter hosts Greenup County at 7:30. Greenup is also 3-1 on the season. 1-2 West Carter plays host to the 4-0 Nicholas Blue Jackets at 7:30. 1-2 Estill County Engineers are traveling to 2-1 Bath County tonight. 1-3 Fleming County Panthers are playing host to 3-1 Montgomery County. And Morgan County has a home matchup with Shelby Valley. The Cougars are currently 1-2 on the year. It's lace up for Pediatric Cancer Night at Jane Stadium as the Morehead State Football Eagles host Austin Peay in this year's matchup of their home and home series on Saturday night. MSU fell to Austin Peay last year, 69-13 in Clarksville, Tennessee. Head coach Rob Tenier says his team will again face a tough challenge from the Governors.
Really talented, really good team speed. Their offense is I think a really big challenge, you know, just to spread you out, a lot of motions, a lot of movement, make you play assignment football. And I think defensively, I think their front is a lot more athletic than they were last year. And we struggled a little bit with that. So they're a really, really good team, very talented, very well coached.
Both teams are 1-1 on the year. MSU looks to notch another home win before heading to Indianapolis in 2 weeks to take on Butler in the PFL conference opener. Kickoff is 6:05 Saturday night. The Cincinnati Bengals are now undefeated in two games after last night's win over the Ravens to kick off week two of regular season play. The Bengals have won both games so far this year with a score of 34-23. The Bengals came out strong last night with two touchdowns in the first quarter, both of which were completed passes to 30-year-old wide receiver A.J. Green, who finished last night with five completions and three touchdowns. Cincy coach Marvin Lewis says that although they've had a great start to the year, there's still work to be done.
You know, we obviously got off to a fast start today, and, you know, it was needed. I think the main thing today, took care of the football, didn't have a turnover in the game. We were able to force the early one on defense, get another one later on. It's helped seal the games, had some other balls go through our hands. But, we're learning, we're growing. We got a long ways to go. It's early in the season, but we came out here tonight and played pretty solid in all three phases.
Bengals start week three play when they travel to take on the Panthers at 1 p.m. next Sunday. This is the first 2-0 start they've had since 2015. Morehead State University's volleyball team took down University of Pennsylvania this morning 3-0. The Eagles are at the West Virginia Classic in Morgantown this weekend. Coach Jamie Gordon says his team did a great job keeping the first set momentum going, and he hopes to see that continue going into tonight's matchup.
West Virginia is too physical and too solid of a team, and we won't have that opportunity to get our footing back. Our service game is going to need to be a little bit more effective than it was. We gave away a lot of points this morning on that end. But I think that we can not allow them to get into an offensive rhythm. I think that our transition game right now is really good.
Morehead will face off with West Virginia tonight at 7 p.m. The Eagles take on Wake Forest tomorrow at 1. The Morehead State soccer team is geared up to begin the Ohio Valley Conference portion of its schedule this weekend with a pair of home matches to be played tonight and Sunday. The Eagles will first take on Eastern Illinois at 6 p.m. before a date with SIUE on Sunday afternoon that's scheduled to kick off at 2 p.m. Coach Warren Lipka says the team is resetting for the second part of their season.
We're 0-0. That's where we're starting. Whatever happened before is what we had to learn from and what we need to do, and the opponents on our non-conference schedule definitely prepared us to play our opponents in the conference. I'm not saying that our conference is soft by any means, but the reality of it is that we played above our level in a lot of these games.
Both games will be streamed live on the OVC Digital Network. Game time at Jane Stadium is 6 p.m. tonight. Taking a look at high school soccer action in the region, the Rowan County boys soccer team took down Russell on the road last night 3-0. Matthew Gagliano was the leading scorer for the Vikings with two goals, and keeper A.J. Hacker got the shutout. The guys in green have the weekend off before traveling to Mason County on Monday. Mason, meanwhile, is recovering from a loss at East Carter last night. The Raiders' Brian McDowell was the leading scorer with five goals. East heads to Greenup on Tuesday. In girls' regional soccer action, the Lady Vikings fell to Russell at home last night 4-2. Audrey Evans and Kennedy Weiss had one goal each for Rowan. They head to Fleming County on Wednesday. The win moved Russell to 6-2 on the season and up to second place in the region. The Red Devils face off with Dixie Heights tomorrow at noon. The Cincinnati Reds are gearing up to start a three-game away set in Chicago against the Cubs. The Redlegs finished their last set with the Cubs with no wins in three games. Cincy is coming fresh off a winning three-game series with the L.A. Dodgers. They finished 2-1 after dropping Wednesday's game 8-1. Reds manager Jim Riggleman says he doesn't think that Wednesday's starting pitcher is close to getting pitcher's fatigue.
I don't think so. You'd have to ask him. I mean, the velocity is very good. You know, I think he's got 100 and, I don't know, maybe 100 between here and the minor leagues. He might have 110, 120 innings. I'm not sure, but I don't think that would be it. You know, you could ask him how he feels.
Tonight's game in L.A. starts at 8:05, with Saturday starting at 4:05 and finishing up the set on Sunday at 2:20. And that's going to do it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Leanne Akers.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics. Family Weekend at Morehead State University features football hosting Austin Peay tomorrow night at 6 p.m. Soccer is also in action, hosting Eastern Illinois tonight at 6 p.m. and Southern Illinois University Edwardsville at 2 p.m. on Sunday. More information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks were little changed as reports said the president wants to move forward with tariffs on $200 billion in Chinese goods, and this offset strong gains in chipmaker shares. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a slight gain of 8.68 at 26,154.67. The S&P 500 was up 0.8 of a point at 2904.98, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 3.67 at 8,010.04. And, of course, it was reported that President Trump told aides to proceed with slapping tariffs on $200 billion worth of Chinese goods. This was actually verified by several different news reporting agencies today. Your big trade-related stocks were a mixed bag. Boeing shares were actually up 1% after trading higher earlier, while Caterpillar erased earlier gains and was down 0.5%. And as mentioned, chipmaker stocks were strong today. Initially, they were down this morning, but the VanEck Vector Semiconductor ETF traded 1% higher at the close as shares of NVIDIA gained more than 1%. NVIDIA rose after a broker upgrade on its price target, noting the company's dominance in machine learning gives the stock more upside. Also, Advanced Micro Devices was up 6.5%. In the commodities markets, oil was up 0.5% at $68.95 a barrel. Gold was down 0.8% at $1,198.70 an ounce. Overseas in Europe, stocks were up today with the Stock 600 index up 0.3%. And in Asia, stocks were strong today with the Nikkei up 1.2% and South Korea's Kospi index up 1.4%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were United Technologies and Boeing, while the worst performers were Disney and Apple. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Advanced Micro Devices and L Brands, while the worst performers were NiSource and Nektar Therapeutics. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down 5 cents at $84.55, CSX up 30 cents at $73.48, Marathon Petroleum up 24 cents at $84.33, AK Steel down a penny at $4.36, AEP down 37 cents at $72.60, and Community Trust Bank was up 40 cents to finish at 47.25. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from Major Brands Tire and Automotive Service. Major Brands offers tire replacement with name brand tires such as BF Goodrich, Kelly, Uniroyal, and Michelin. Vehicle maintenance by certified technicians includes brakes, belts and hoses, steering, batteries, oil changes, and more. Walk-ins or appointments are welcome. Major Brands Tire and Automotive Service in Moorhead and Mount Sterling. Open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, Saturday, 8 to 1, and online at majorbrandstire.com.
First Christian Church, located at 227 East Main Street in Moorhead, will host a yard sale from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. this Saturday, September 15th. Items include art, glassware, furniture, clothing, collectibles, and more.
Taking a look at the weather tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 67. Saturday, a 10% chance of showers and thunderstorms after 4 p.m. Mostly sunny with a high near 85. Saturday night, a 10% chance of showers and thunderstorms before 8 p.m. Mostly cloudy with a low around 68. Sunday, a 40% chance of showers mainly after 11 a.m. Mostly cloudy with a high near 78. Sunday night, showers likely mainly after 2 a.m. Cloudy with a low around 67. Monday, showers are likely mainly before 1 p.m., cloudy with a high near 74. Monday night, a 30% chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a low around 65. Tuesday, there will be a 10% chance of showers before 7 a.m., mostly sunny with a high near 82. Tuesday night, mostly clear with a low around 65. Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high near 84. And Wednesday night, mostly clear with a low around 64.
And that'll do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Joe Lewis, Cody Robinson, Tanner Boyd, Logan Pemberton, and Chaz Jenkins, KNN's Haley Hansen, and Hilliard Lyons Bud Luke with your stock report. And our feature commentary came from MSU professor John Modaff. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at wmky.org. For Peyton Stewart and all of the MSPR news team, I'm Jacob Lindberg for WMKY News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.